You're listening to Baking to the B-Movies with Ashley and Steph, broadcasting from the woods of Western Massachusetts. They're here to talk about the beautiful, the gory, the nonsensical, and of course, mostly bad horror filmmaking that we all know and love, while creating recipes inspired by these wonderful abominations. You can follow Baking to the B-Movies on Instagram, at Baking to the B-Movies, and on Twitter, at Baking to B Movies. These ladies dig deep into these movies, and some of the topics covered are disturbing. So this is your spoiler warning and explicit content warning. Listener discretion is advised. Now onward to good food, good friends, and movies so bad they literally cannot stop talking about them.
Welcome back to Baking to the B-Movies. My name is Ashley.
And my name is Steph.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. We hope you're all doing good out there and enjoying your summer so far. It's going to be over before we know it.
Yeah, I feel like it's already over.
Right? There's a breeze in the air. I feel...
There's a chill.
There's a chill, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. Before we get into today's episode, let's just run through it. You can follow us on Instagram at Baking to the B-Movies. You can reach us directly at bakingtothebmovies@gmail.com. We are available wherever you get your podcasts, so be sure to like, subscribe, follow, share, smash that like button. Give us a 5-star rating because Lord knows we have earned it at this point. Mm. And if you need to get caught up on any of our episodes past, present, and stay on top of episodes that are coming up, I recommend you check out the RSS feed that is linked in our social media. That is an archive of all of our episodes all the way back from our very first one through now. Mm. I think that's it. Steph, how are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so uninterested in the movie today that I'm scrolling to delete some spam emails out of my email folder.
Oh, Give me a minute. So, so excited for today's movie. I might even do the little intro for it and let the audience know what we're talking about today. That's how excited I am.
You are welcome to do so.
So, Steph, at the time that this episode is going live, we will have just come back from a weekend trip with the girlies down at the Cape. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is being recorded before that trip, so...
Excuse me.
We'll do like an either or. So the trip was amazing. I had such a great time down on the beach.
Oh my God. Nobody fought or threw fists. It was the best trip ever.
Nobody got seasick. There were no great white shark attacks. Like, we had such an amazing time down at the Cape. No, the flip side, just in case. God, that was miserable. I never want to do this ever again.
It has died. Everything about this has died for me. So I hate the ocean.
So we did that because, like I said, we haven't gone on the trip yet. We're getting ready to. This goes live like right after we get back. So yeah. We're recording it before. So this is like a fun little choose your own adventure. Like, was it good?
Yeah.
Just skip back like 10 seconds. Was it bad? Yeah. Skip back 8 seconds. Like,
yeah.
So we'll decide. So, Steph, you know, we have just a couple more episodes after this before we wrap things up for the season.
Yes.
It's crazy because, like, we're getting into fall. I'm going to be at maximum power. I know it's still August, but, like, it's coming.
Like, everywhere. So, in July, everywhere, like, mid to late July, everywhere I went already has fall stuff out.
Oh, yeah. I was getting advertisements for, like, Halloween decor and, like, Halloween candles.
I haven't seen Halloween stuff yet.
Yeah.
Specifically fall, but it's, you know, very soon coming.
Yeah.
But still, it just makes me want it to be fall.
And I think we're gonna come back in time for Halloween. I think we're gonna try to. That's our goal ultimately. I think
every year.
I thought so. Or we're gonna do like a one off for Halloween just for funsies.
Yeah,
like,
that would be a good idea.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. But just a couple more episodes after this before we take just a little break and get ready to do some fun early fall things. But
yeah, maybe we'll go back to the cider mill where it was 100 degrees
and
Ashley was getting attacked by yellow jackets left and right.
So many hornets.
I'm walking like maybe like 5-6 feet behind her, and I just see like them making a nest in her hair. And not saying a damn thing about it. Well, because if I did, you'd freak out, and then you'd definitely get stung.
Yes. Well, so it was funny because we did that.
I'm just looking out for you.
I know, and I appreciate it. We did that. I think it was because it was like within the first few days of September.
It was like Labor Day weekend,
like,
or something.
Literally September 1st. I'm just like, okay, fall time. And like, I don't care how it could be 94 degrees. I'm putting a sweater on. Like, I don't care. And I'm going to get my pumpkin spice. And like, I'm ready. So we did that like the first week of September. And it was so hot out. There were fucking bees and hornets everywhere. Still a good day though. That was fun.
That was still a fun day.
Last year, I got my mystic pizza. that was good. Last year I was in Acadia, I think, in California, like where the redwoods are.
Yeah.
And literally like, you know, woke up September 1st, like where the redwoods are. And it was like a gloomy day. And I like woke my business partner up and I was like, Hey, it's September 1st and it's like rainy and foggy out. And he was like, yeah, it's like always foggy up here. And I was like, let's go get some pumpkin spice. And he was just like, no.
No.
So I have a feeling that, you know, September 1st, I'm going to be pulling the same shit. I'm going to be like putting my cardigan on when it's still sunny and 102 out, getting heat stroke.
So I always want that to happen, but I can't put on, like, layers like that if it's 90 degrees. It's just so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I want to. Like, I want to so hard.
I'll get you there.
But I'm not looking for help.
Come with me. Right. So, Steph, before we talk about today's episode, just a quick little rewind to our last one. We had done Tremors, and I had done the bacon-wrapped pineapple because the movie stars Kevin Bacon. How were they?
Very good.
Awesome.
It was like a nice mix of sweet and salty.
Yes.
And like the caramelized sugars and stuff like that. So
yes,
I definitely recommend it. Would make a great app for any summertime gathering. Or any time of the year.
It's delicious.
It's pretty good.
And if you missed that recipe, you can check it out over on our Instagram at Baking to the Bee Movies. That's where we post like all the ingredients that you need and how to do it and photos and stuff, so you can get an idea how they should look depending on how your day is going. Now, you took over the, it's funny because you took over the episode, the recipe for this episode this week, but I chose the movie. I've been pushing for this movie.
You've been pushing for this one for a very long time.
Quite some time, and I finally
like,
got
I
to
feel
the
like
cave.
You, yeah, I feel like you mentioned it our very first season.
I just remember, so our very, very first episode of Baking to the Bee Movies was Dead End, a movie that you and I had watched together, and I was like, we have to. Like, this is the quintessential terrible bee movie that makes no sense, has a gazillion plot holes, terrible acting, despite the fact that, like, Ray Weiss is just amazing.
But it's not his fault that movie was terrible.
It was everything else.
Yes.
It was like every other part of that movie was just bad.
Makes no damn sense.
But this is another movie that I was just like, we have to include this at some point. Mm. And now 7 seasons in, we're finally doing it. And I cannot fucking wait. I'm so excited. I've been waiting to talk about this.
Would you like to tell the masses of what I can't be bothered to today?
Yes. So today's story.
Today's tender story.
This movie today poses the question, what if you have a dream, some extra cash laying around, no talent or experience? Talking about Birdemic, Shock and Terror. finally doing Birdemic. I'm so excited.
What a piece of crap.
This is a 2010 movie, believe it or not. Once you see those special effects, you're going to be like, what year was this made? Because this is definitely like 1990s, low budget.
1990s, like even worse, yeah. Man.
This one clocks in at 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Way too long.
Way too
fucking long.
Holy
God, is it too long.
What's great about this movie is that it stars people that I've never heard of and haven't seen them in anything since, so it's a true It's a true return.
True return to the
movies.
To the OG.
This one stars Alan Bagg.
Yeah, sure.
Bagg. We have Whitney Moore. So this movie, it accidentally credits, if you go on IMDb, this movie accidentally credits Tippi Hedren. She's not in this. Mm-hmm. She is in another one of the director's movies that I will talk about a little bit later on. So don't be fooled by potential star power. This movie has none. This movie has none of that. Is there anybody else?
It is arid like the desert.
This is more arid than
any emotion and talent.
This is more arid than Perfection, Nevada.
Legit.
Did you have anybody in the cast that?
What kind of question is that?
You're going to be so much fun during this. I can't wait.
I mean, are you asking for like anybody of like note?
Has anybody in the cast, have you seen them in anything else? Because I haven't.
No.
I know that, I believe that the two leads, Alan Bagg and Whitney Moore, they've been in the sequels. I haven't seen any of the sequels, but I should.
Why?
I should watch them. I don't know. I just feel like when you make sequels, it loses that like initial charm and like what the fuckery that is in the original. So I don't want to lose the magic that comes with watching this.
But... Sequels in themselves are tropes for B movies.
True.
So
maybe we should. All right, we'll do.
We are not doing that.
We'll do Birdemic 2 in a later season.
I'm canceling us before that ever happens.
And this is the last season. This is it. You guys are listening to the end of Baking to the B movies in real time.
Right.
It's live on air. Yeah, it's a small cast. There's really, and like I said, I think most of these people have been in like other B movies that I personally haven't
seen. Maybe, I don't know.
This movie is directed by James Nguyen, I think is how it's pronounced.
I never looked it up.
And we're going to get into some of his other projects a little bit later on, but I think we can.
I'm so excited. I can't even control my excitement here.
So before we start, this Birdemic has been discussed, it's been spoofed, it's been ripped apart, most notably by the guys over at Riff Trax, who did such an amazing job. If you ever get the chance to watch the Riff Trax live version of Birdemic, where there's like an actual live crowd watching along, and I think they have a Riff Trax app, and I think this is one of those movies you can watch for free, you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, you really should have that app, I don't know why I don't.
It's really fun. It's super fun. But they did a live version of this in front of like a live audience, and it was streamed in theaters all over the country. Excuse me. And one of the best things about it is if you haven't seen Birdemic before, watching other people react to it is part of the fun, because once it gets into the special effects and the choppy editing and the acting, and you just hear people completely, like, their brains and melting.
The inconsistency.
Yes. The inconsistency, like, their brains melting in real time. Like, it's really fun.
I will say, I watched this alone. And I feel like it took away from the movie, because this is really something you need to watch with people.
Well, that's what makes Dead End so fun the first time you and I ever watched it, is we watched it with, like, Sean and, like, a group of our friends. We all watched it together, and it's just the bewilderment and like disbelief that something like this was actually made and people
happening,
and like this was greenlit at some point.
Yeah,
like multiple people were like, "Yeah, sure, go ahead, move forward with this," and no one at any point stopped and be like, "I don't think this is good. I don't think it's a good idea." That's what makes B movies. Like, there's some legitimately great B movies out there. Like we've discussed many of them. This is one of those ones that's just so bad, and it's so fun to hate watch, especially in a crowd.
It needs to be in a crowd. Like, I feel like that was taken away from me. Because I couldn't be like, because Andy wasn't home, and I couldn't, or you weren't here, and I couldn't, like, turn to someone and be like, what is this?
Do you,
like, I need to bounce my disdain off of other people.
Do you want me to pause this episode so we can go rewatch it together?
No.
Because I'm willing to do that for you.
No. No. We would ultimately become not friends. I would break up with you so hard and so fast and kick you out of my house.
Just an FYI as well, when this episode goes live, within a few days, Riff Trax are going to be doing their 2025 live stream event. Yeah. They're doing Time Cop this year.
Fantastic.
With Jean-Claude Van Damme. So I will be going to the theater to eat popcorn and watch that. Last year they did Point Break.
Yes, it was really fucking fun. That's awesome.
So, like I said, this movie is an hour and 30 minutes, and I just want to say that about 90 minutes of it, almost 90 minutes, because that is 90 minutes, almost 90 minutes of it is like cityscape shots, shots of people driving, shots of people walking. That's a big theme in the movie, is that you spend so much time watching people like park their cars. Like, it's terrible.
So much character development, but at the same time, no characters get developed.
It's a weird paradox. It's such a bizarre paradox.
It turned my brain into mush.
So this movie starts, it takes place in Silicon Valley in California.
Yep.
And after we get through the entire credits sequence.
Again, like it was like.
The entire.
It was like Full Moon Features. Like, it was super long. Except Full Moon Features is better. Like, it's better. But yes, the intro was substantially
long. And, I mean, all the people, don't get me wrong, I believe every cast and crew member needs to be credited, but, like, not at the beginning of the movie. Like,
so what I understand is that if they credit them at the beginning of the movie, they can pay them less. And that's why. That's one of the cuts, like the way you can cut your budget down.
That is shady as fuck. My God.
So that's what I've heard. I don't know how true it is, but
if anybody knows the answer to that or wants to
let us know, I'm curious.
BakingToTheBMovies@gmail.com. Let us know.
Yeah, that's why the Full Moon Features movies, their intros are so long because they credit everybody.
To save a buck.
Oh. I mean, it's a low budget thing, so it is what it is.
Yeah.
Plus they get the credit, which is realistically, that's good for them. You know,
builds up your resume, I guess. Yeah. I mean, although this movie, I don't know.
Not this one. This one could, you know, be dragged out into the middle of the desert and shot and then buried.
So this movie, it focuses predominantly on Rod.
Yes.
Rod. And Rod is, he is a salesperson, a software salesperson at an indescript company in Silicon Valley.
Apparently a big company. But we don't know the name of it.
But he is a software salesman. And the beginning of this movie is essentially like a day in his life. It's a lot of driving.
In his Mustang. And he only drives like 20 miles an hour the entire time.
Yeah, I was going to say, doesn't go... like
he's driving very, very, very responsibly.
Yes.
It is like royal blue Mustang.
Now, what I love about this is that... So the first sequence after we get through the whole... Crast and crew and opening credits and Rod driving his Mustang here, there, and everywhere is that he parks on a main street in a, what is the town called? Like Half Moon Bay, I think is the town.
It was Half Moon Bay.
And he's going to get lunch at a local diner, and it's choppy as fuck editing. I love the editing.
I am pretty convinced that this was shot on VHS.
Because but in 2010?
Yes, I think, because that's a thing. People still do that.
Yeah.
It's a stylistic choice, but the problem with VHS is that it's literally the worst choice that you could choose to make a movie. So, I don't know. I did try to look it up. It's never been confirmed that's how it was shot. However, there's a lot of inconsistency with sound. And lighting,
it's
that reflects the fact that it was probably shot on VHS. But like you have one shot of him walking into this diner, which is a very cute diner. And then this really choppy shot when it pans over to the hostess.
Yeah.
And she's just smiling and you can hear background noise.
Yes.
And she doesn't even ask him like if it's a party for one.
Yeah.
He just walks in, shows her, and then she goes back to him, and she's just, like, seating him.
Yes.
Like, it makes no sense. And the background noise is different.
The sound is very inconsistent.
The background sound is incredibly inconsistent. Like, it makes no... Like, these are two bad shots from two separate bad movies. That's what this is. So, anywho,
so Rod,
we could go into how he becomes this wicked creep.
So while Rod is in this diner, he spots a very pretty blonde girl at a nearby table.
Who he stares at for 30
he
minutes.
He stares at her for an uncomfortably long time.
A very long time.
Well, she's just trying to eat her food, and she doesn't pick up. The girl has no situational awareness. If somebody fucking blinks the wrong way at me, I might pick up on it immediately.
Right?
But she has no situational awareness. And he is just, like, staring at her and, like, smirking at her or whatever. And then she finishes eating and then leaves, presumably without paying.
She just gets up and leaves the diner.
She leaves the diner. But then he, like, he follows her. But
as soon as she leaves, he gets up and follows her for, like, a half a mile!
But did you notice that when he leaves, there is a glass of juice, a cup of coffee, and a water on the table when he leaves? I don't think he paid for those. I think he chewed and screwed.
Maybe. It could be on brand, because he was staring at this poor girl forever. She's an idiot. Not picking up on it at all.
Not picking up on it
because,
at all.
Because, if a dude's staring at you for a substantially long amount of time, you should probably leave, is all I'm saying.
Well,
but then he follows her, which is even creepier. This is why ladies have to walk around with their keys in their fingers.
And not in your pockets like we discussed during
Exactly.
Leads to bad things. Rod eventually, stops to talk to her. He does catch up. And he asks her, he recognizes her. They had gone to high school together. So he
I'm
does,
sure he recognizes her.
So he asks
or he's just
her
making a story up.
Well, it's a very odd story because he asks her if she went to a certain high school and she's like, yeah. And he was like, oh, okay. And like asks her if she's from the area and she explains, I'm from San Francisco, but my mother lives here, so I'm visiting my mother. Right. And then he throws in like, oh yeah, I sat like two seats behind you in English.
Yeah.
And even she's like a little skeptical. Like the girl who plays we find out her name is Natalie.
Natalie. Yeah.
The girl who plays Natalie is, like, really good at playing the, like, the fuck are you talking about look? Like, she's really good at it because she's like, you really remember that far back?
She and, does. Like, she makes a comment about that, too. It's like, well, that was a long time ago, but all right. Which reiterates the fact that this dude is creepy as hell. Yeah.
So,
red flag.
He asks her like what she's been up to or like what she's been doing since high school, and come to find out she's a fashion model. Mm-hmm.
I like how they specified fashion model.
Yeah.
So it's not like she's not a hair model, she's not a hand model, all the other stuff. So, her whole everything is important.
Which I do have a couple things to comment on once we get there, because it made me laugh. Because as someone who likes fashion, it just kind of cracked me up.
Great.
she tries to mercifully just end this conversation by
she
saying
does.
Like
she's trying.
She's on her way to an audition, whatever the fuck that means.
Well, she's gonna audition for like a photographer or something, I guess. I don't know.
so audition, a modeling audition to me, there's acting auditions. But I feel like...
So there is... Models do audition, though.
Do they? Because I feel like you just submit, like, a headshot or something.
Maybe. But you also have to be able to, like, move with the camera.
True.
And quite frankly, not all people who want to model are necessarily photogenic. And I'm not saying that as far as looks go. Because you could be a very attractive person.
Some people just don't photograph well.
And you don't you could still not photograph well. Yeah. So I think that's what the audition would be.
We had a whole toxic Tyra Banks led reality show about that for many years.
Yeah.
Somebody's been doing like a deep dive on social media about like just how fucking crazy America's Next Top Model was and how like devious that whole thing
how
was.
How terrible it is.
And I'm like, oh, no wonder so many women have like complexes growing up with that shit.
Yeah. And eating disorders,
exactly.
Drug addictions, and all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Fucking crazy. I hate Tyra Banks. She's a bitch. what a bitch. So Natalie goes to, like, get in her car, and Rod again, like, chases her down and asks if they can keep in contact. And she's like, here's my card, which, okay. And then he's like, here's mine. And I'm like, dude, you're a fucking software salesman. What do you need a card for?
He's a salesman. I mean, you go out to buy a car, you get a card.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess. I just don't.
I mean, it's not like anybody's, like, it looks like he's just on the phone kind of salesperson. So it's not like anybody's going to him.
Oh, well, I mean, so this unfortunately, like, a day in his life, this isn't the only day in his life that we get to see.
That's true.
They exchange information, and then it's the following day, and Rod is having his breakfast while he's watching what appears to be a community college news network.
MNN.
MNN.
MNN. I assumed it was supposed to be like CNN.
Right. and the whatever. the poor girl in front of the green screen with like stock footage playing next to her about an ongoing theme in this movie is, you know, the hazards of global warming.
Yes.
Like, it is just in your face the entire movie is how awful global warming is, which
and
it is.
And what it's doing to the earth.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's watching the news and she's talking about polar bears running out of food.
Ice and food.
Before we now get to see what a typical work day looks like in his life, which involves driving 13 miles an hour. To his office. To a nondescript office, where he very slowly walks into the building. Meanwhile, other people walking, like, alongside him or in front of him are, like, hauling ass. He's just
they're walking at a normal pace.
Yeah, he's walking very, very slowly.
This dude is in no rush to go anywhere.
Which, when I go to work, same. I can't.
I agree. I'm like, I am sorry, but I'm not running to get to a place I hate to be.
So we get a look at Rod's sales technique as a software salesman.
Very pushy.
In a dimly lit cubicle. Yep. I'm pretty sure, based on the lighting in this movie, I have a feeling that they asked, like, an office building if they could use it on, like, a Saturday or something. Like, can we borrow your office building to shoot something on a Saturday?
Yeah.
Because it's, like, eerily quiet. There's no one else. It's dark as fuck in there. Yep. Like, no one thought to turn the lights on.
Nope.
But Rod's sales technique is basically like, what can I get you to buy these today?
So pushy.
And like give some insane discount that like no person would be able to keep their job if they gave that to anybody.
Yeah. Well, that maybe that's why he's such a good salesperson, because he breaks all the rules.
Ooh. He's a genius this whole time. But he makes like this $1 million.
Still a creep.
Yes, absolutely. But he makes this $1 million sale, and then we meet the only other employee in the building, which is a friend of his.
Yes.
Who is obnoxious as fuck, and I forget his name.
Oh, he's super annoying. Who was it? Was it Tony?
No, the girlfriend's name was Becky. I remember that, but... Oh, wait, no, not Becky.
My. Rick? Was it Rick?
Who knows?
Was his friend Rick? Who knows?
Who cares? His friend. So, you know, we meet Rod's friend, who's like this like sex addict, like douche. He's just like,
yeah, he's just a typical douche.
He's a typical dude bro douche.
Yeah.
While Rod is making this $1 million sale, we get a look at Natalie's day as a fashion model, which involves posing in a 1 hour photo. Location.
1 hour photo.
1 hour photo.
1 hour photo. I'm just going to repeat it. 1 fucking hour photo.
She's wearing the most unflattering, like, outfits. She's still cute as a button, but her outfits are just so terrible.
God awful. And I'm sorry, her posing? God awful.
Yeah, no, she would have been eliminated by Tyra Banks within the first round.
Yes.
Tyra Banks would have ripped into her and disqualified her. It was basically glamour shots with Deb. This is looking really nice.
Yes.
When she's all done with the photo shoot, her phone rings as she's leaving, and it is her agent from Dream Models, with an apostrophe, by the way.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
Which appears to be another empty office space.
Yes, it does.
that they just asked to use on a random Sunday.
Yep.
Well, no one was in there.
Well, nobody was in there, yep.
And it's Natalie's agent, and she has incredible
awesome news for her.
She has incredible and life-changing news.
Her career is about to take off.
Like,
it's... Not on any planet would this ever fucking happen.
Well, the agent informs Natalie, who just got done doing these amazing poses in a 1 hour photo studio, that
I'm gonna open a 1 hour photo studio.
Can I come in and pose in
absolutely can. Glamour shots by Steph.
This is looking really nice.
This is looking really good. Well, I could hang this up and maybe put this fan here so it blows.
Yeah.
Gives it that billowy effect.
I like billowy. I can do billowy. Anyways.
Natalie gets the most life-changing news ever. Like, her career, like you said, is about to skyrocket. She has been chosen by Victoria's Secret to be their new cover model. Cover of what? I don't know.
Not on any planet in this galaxy would Victoria's Secret pluck some chump from the mean streets of Half Moon Bay to be on their cover. And the way that the agent was talking, it sounds like she was just going to be on the covers, like multiple, not a chance. Like, let's just say that she wouldn't be in a 1 hour photo studio an hour before that. Mm-hmm. And then get offered that.
Exactly.
Like, if she's being offered that, she's already working for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Anywho. Then what happens? She goes to see her mom or some crap?
Well, as she's walking and getting into her car, Rod is leaving work, and he decides to call her. Because they've exchanged information.
Right.
And her, again, with just this girl nailing the initial reactions, her phone rings, she picks up. He's like, "Hi, Natalie." She's like, "Who is this?" Like, immediately, like, defensive, which I would be the same way.
Legit.
And then when she realizes that it's Rod from high school and the restaurant, you know, couple days earlier, she softens. And
you think he waited the 3 days?
Probably not. I have a feeling this was, like, a next day phone call.
Probably.
but he asks her how her day went. And she's like, "Good." And then, you know, asks him how his went. And he's talking about how he made a big sale. Mm-hmm. And then she talks about how she just got a job with Victoria's Secret. And he just is like, he's like, "Wow, that's great." Like, totally unenthusiastic about it.
Wow, that's great. That's very, very, very Deb. This is looking really good. This is looking really good.
He does ask her if she wants to go and get dinner together. Yep. And she, I'm over here looking at this like, girl, you're about to work for Victoria's Secret. Change your number. You don't have to go out with any of these Half Moon Bay guys. You're going to be on a yacht partying with the fucking Helmsworth brothers. And and fucking Chris Pratt, whoever else. At that shit. But she's just like, yeah, sure.
She does. She agrees. Not really reluctantly, but agrees.
Yeah, and he just mentions, like, a restaurant, again, nondescript, and she automatically knows the one he's talking about, and is just like, yeah, sure, I'll meet you there. Okay. They do, we get, like, another scene of, like, the day of the date. Rod is, again, watching, he's watching the news.
The news,
and this time it's talking about, like, a eco-friendly F1 race, again, with stock footage in front of a green screen, that poor, poor girl doing the news reporter gig. And he's visited by a solar panel salesman.
Yep.
Who is telling him about, you know, how great solar panels are. Again, global warming is a huge, huge fucking deal in this movie.
A huge deal in this, yeah.
But then we get the first date at a Chinese restaurant or something.
Yeah.
And we learn a little bit more about each character other than their careers or whatever, their names. You know, Rod was talking about how he worked in, like, software programming or something, and it wasn't really for him.
Yeah. Sales is his jam.
Sales is his jam. And he's really, like, he loves talking to people. He's really good at it, even though he's a dud. And
right? He's about as dull as dishwater.
And she's talking about...
the wet blanket.
She's talking about how, you know, she loves modeling because she gets to travel. It's very glamorous. You know, the one-hour photo place is right up there.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to throw the bees up.
I mean, I... New York, Paris, Milan, Half Moon Bay, one-hour Photoshop. Perfect. Okay, back to it, Ash.
She talks about like how her mother supports her but has always wanted her to get like a real estate license. It's a bet.
A real job. Yeah, well, no, it's not. Not that mom's not a real job, but like something that's more reliable.
A safety net.
Yeah.
In case something happens.
Right.
If this doesn't work out, you know, yeah, your career can end over the stupidest shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's literally, I was watching it and I'm like, this is the worst first date ever, and that includes dates where like someone has been murdered in the course of this is terrible. It's fucking painful. Rod ultimately, I think it's like the same fucking thing. Like they finish dinner and they go for a walk, and this is where we get the first glimpse of the special effects. And
you see the birds.
Yeah, they're okay. Like walking, and we see these clip art birds.
It's literally like clip art. It's insane.
And it's parrots.
It looked like parrots. It looked like parrots. Which, you know, they're in like, I thought there was like Southern California. Is it Northern California?
They're in Northern.
Wherever the hell Silicon Valley is.
It's like Northern California, yeah. Because at one point they're up by the redwoods, like later on in the movie. So it's up that way.
That makes way, and the scenery made way more sense.
But there's parrots, and they're just kind of like floating because there's no movement. It's kind of floating in front of a bush.
It's just like, oh my god, it's like South Park type stuff where it's just like, you know.
And even though, they go out dancing, and, you know, they're slow dancing. Meanwhile, there's, like, crazy strobes happening behind them, like they're at a fucking club.
Right? Oh, my God.
They're slow dancing while, like, fucking Darude Sandstorm's playing.
Right? Oh, my God. Like, the green screen on that was so bad. Like, oh, my God.
And when Rod walks her home, you know, he offers to come inside, and she's like, not on the first date. I'm not that kind of girl. And I'm like, girl,
good for you, girl.
I'm like, girl, I wouldn't do it on the second or the third date. This should be the first and only date. Like, what the fuck are we doing? You're about to be a Victoria's Secret model. What are you doing dating this chump?
Yeah. Also, he had super weak shoulders. I won't say he was a bad looking guy. I don't think he was guy. But his shoulders were weak.
This is the worst posture ever on a man.
Right?
Oh my god, my sides hurt. So from now through like the next fucking 30 minutes, it's just basically character development. Like,
except nobody gets developed.
Yeah. Well, so Rod's playing basketball with the dude that he works with, who appears to be the only person I said that works there with them. Like,
right.
Only other guy.
Right.
And they're talking about maybe their company being, like, acquired or going public and them getting a huge payout so that they can, like, retire early and, like, have a ton of money or whatever.
Right.
Natalie goes to her mom to tell her about the Victoria's Secret gig, and the mom's just like, she's over the moon. And she also wants to meet Rod.
She tells her about Rod. And then she's super into meeting Rod.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's not weird. Like, that's fine.
Yeah. We get this fucking double date with Rod and Natalie and fucking,
I think it's Rick.
Rick and Mai, his girlfriend.
His girlfriend.
Now, something I didn't get, and I've never looked into this, is when they're setting up the double date, we get like this like weird, like,
it's gross.
It's gross.
It's absolutely gross. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Mai with her boyfriend
Rick or whatever.
And they're like dry humping or something.
But there's like a So again, with like the filming locations in this movie, it's kind of hard to pick up on like where these are being filmed, because like they're in what I'm presuming is either Mai or Rick's apartment, but there's like no actual like furniture that would like suggest that someone has lived there, except there's like a poster in the back for like some Imagine Peace thing.
Yeah, imaginepeace.com or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
And we see her later wearing a shirt that says the same thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to get into this too much. Towards the end of the film, they, like, try to make a, like, where they're going.
Yeah.
Natalie points out, oh, Mai lives over there. And she freaking points to a damn lighthouse. I'm like, does Mai live in a freaking lighthouse? Like, Jesus Christ. What is this? This is insane. This is bananas bonkers. Like, so much. Anyways, so yeah, so they're like basically dry humping
when Mai gets the call,
making out, and then Natalie calls Mai, and she just sits up And, you know, answers the phone. And she's based, you know, telling her, like, that she wants to go on a double date.
Yeah. Their double date is to go see An Inconvenient Truth, which, which of course, they're... And what I love is that like, they're walking out together, like, after seeing this movie. And I think it's Rod's like, that was a great movie, An Inconvenient Truth. It's like, yep, y'all saw it together. You know what movie you saw? Like, we don't have to repeat.
He repeats the title, like, in, like, a context that makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be like, hey, that was a really great movie, Ashley. Birdemic. like that is not a sentence people say. That's not the language that we all learn. What is that?
But this movie has touched them all so much that Rick says he's going to go out and get an electric car because driving a gas guzzler is just not good for the environment. It's just getting slapped in the face.
And I'm not sure if this happens yet. So correct me if I'm wrong, but they have that whole meeting where they do make money.
Yes.
And Rod wants to start a business, which would be solar, I think, right? Was it solar panels or something to that extent?
So Rod's company ultimately does either go public or gets acquired by somebody else, and everybody gets a payout.
Yeah, everybody gets bank.
Yeah, they all get bank somehow. And all four employees that work there. And Rod decides that he, you know, even though he wants to take some time off, he's interested in investing in solar energy.
Yes. And he's also, like, pretty young.
Yeah.
So he's got his whole life where he can just take off time and then just do this business.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like he's older or doesn't have the energy to do it, you
exactly.
know?
Now, at this point, we are about 30 minutes into this movie, and other than the floating clip art parrots... Not one other bird in sight, so we're getting there.
Well, let's be honest. There were no actual birds in this movie, but...
So Rod starts this, like, solar panel startup, and I do really love the way that he says solar panels, which is something that the guys on Rift Tracks kind of pointed out as well. He says, like, solar panels, like, solar panels.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't really catch that.
But every time he says it...
I was so checked out, Ash. And I suffered through this. I turned it on, I'm just like, an hour and a half!
So he sells this, like, he gets an investor for like $10 million or something. Now, this is important.
Yes.
Rod is a millionaire. Yes. Natalie is a Victoria's Secret cover model, whatever that means. Whatever the fuck that means. They are rich, and she is likely famous.
One would think.
What do they do next, Steph? They go to the Half Moon Bay Fall Festival.
Oh, that's when that happens?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the pumpkin capital of the world?
Pumpkin capital of the world in California.
Right.
In Silicon Valley.
Like, don't get me wrong. I don't know exactly what the pumpkin capital of the world is, but I gotta be honest. I don't think it's in Northern Cali. Northern California has a lot of stuff, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a pumpkin capital.
But again, it goes back to, like, this guy just got, like, a $10 million investment. He got a huge payout from his job. She's apparently not off doing a cover shoot or...
Right?
She's
like, not that off, doesn't really make sense.
She's not off working. But they're just hanging out in...
Loving fucking, their lives.
In Northern California. They go to a fall festival. They do go at one point to go meet her mother, and her mother gives us her whole fucking backstory, which was totally unnecessary.
I actually liked her mother.
I liked the mom.
I liked the mother. I thought she was super sweet.
Yeah.
And a great mom, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Like, even though she wants Natalie to, you know, be a real estate agent or something to that extent, she still supports her modeling
career
and dreams.
Yeah.
So, I liked her.
Part of this, like, day that they do the fall festival, they go to see her mom. They go for a walk on the beach, which, again, the sound is just terrible in the scene because it's all you can hear is, like, waves crashing. You cannot hear any of the fucking dialogue.
Oh, my God, it's terrible.
But they come across a...
A dead eagle.
It's an eagle. A dead eagle in the sand, which, again, clip art.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I was like, that's it? That's what I'm watching this for? Oh, Ash is going to... I'm going to have some words for that girl.
At the end of their date, they go to a bar, and they're the only people in this bar for whatever reason.
Until they aren't.
Until they aren't. Until all of a sudden there's other people, including a singer. Or, you know... A singer.
That's all you got. No. I was looking for the rest of the band.
There's no band.
There was no band. And then I was like, maybe it was karaoke. It was 100% not karaoke.
It was like an original song. It was an original song, I believe. I've never heard that song.
I haven't heard it either.
But he, you know, there's this one guy singing to them, and we get like a 7-minute dancing montage of the two of them. And I watch it, and I, like, part of me is very, like, empathetic to, like, up-and-coming actors and actresses mm-hmm. who are like, this might be my big break.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine just having to stand there and, like, dance to this wretched song in this wretched backdrop with no other people and be thinking to myself, like, yeah, I'm going to be huge because of this. But who knows? Maybe their careers did go, like, skyrocket.
I feel like we would have known if... That's just a theory. I feel like we would know if they did. But you know what? We could always look it up.
We could. So they are dancing in this bar. All of a sudden, there's other people around them that just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, right?
I was losing my mind.
My mind is already gone at this point.
And then they end the evening by going back to... I don't know. It's definitely a different building than Natalie's apartment because we do see her door after the first date, and it's a different building, but
was it his apartment?
I don't know, because we've seen his apartment when he's doing, like, when he's watching the community theater news or whatever the fuck's going on there.
Yeah, but I thought it, I don't know, because it was like, you're right, because it wasn't her apartment, it wasn't her mom's house.
Yeah,
but when they're in the room, like, it literally, what it actually looked like was a hotel room. Or a motel room.
What I was going to say is, as soon as I saw that comforter, I'm like, that has to be a Motel 8 or a Motel 6. Like, yeah. It has to be that god-awful... Because I've watched enough true crime where people get murdered in Motel 8s that I know what the fuck that comforter is. Like, that hideous, multicolored, like, fucking disaster of a comforter.
So let's assume that they're just at a motel, I guess.
Despite the fact that she has an apartment and he has a house.
Yes.
He has a house that he dropped $19,000 to put solar panels on.
Yeah.
And they don't go to the house, they don't go to her apartment, they go to a fucking Motel 6?
Right, it's not like either of them have roommates. Right. Or so we believe, or assume. It's not like either of them live with their parents.
Right.
So...
And also, again...
To make it just more skeezy, let's send him to a motel.
But the thing is, he is a millionaire, and she is a Victoria's Secret cover model. You can't get a Hilton,
right? Like, you couldn't spring for the Holiday Inn.
The Holiday Inn Express,
right? We'll upscale it, like a Hilton, a Ritz-Carlton, maybe a Four Seasons. Maybe they didn't have any of those in the town they're in.
If I travel, I refuse to stay anywhere but like an Omni Park or hotel. Like, I refuse.
It's true. You never know what you're going to get. Hotel and motel rooms are so shiesty.
Oh my God. Unrelated. So this is one of my favorite stories ever. So years ago during the pandemic, I went to go see Kelsey's family when they were still living in Nevada.
Yeah.
The kids were still really young.
Yeah.
And my business partner had never been to Las Vegas. He had never been before. And while I was in Nevada, he offered to drive in from California, which is where he was living at the time. And he wanted to spend a couple of days in Vegas. And he went, you know, not only to hang out and see Vegas for the first time and, like, meet up with me, but he also had, like, work stuff to do in the area as well. So when he has work stuff to do in the area, from my understanding, and I'm sure he'll listen to this and correct me if I'm wrong, from my understanding is when he travels for work, his job will cover, like, food expenses, hotel, you know, if he has to stay overnight anywhere, which in this case he did because he drove 5 hours. So he stayed a couple of nights in Vegas, and because he was doing work other than, like, coming to get dinner with me and stuff, his job, you know, was fine with covering the hotel expenses. When he asked me, because I didn't realize this, or maybe I did subconsciously just, like, put it down where I wouldn't have to think about it. When he asked me, you know, where's the best place to stay in Vegas? Like, what's your favorite place to stay in Vegas? I was like, oh, dude, the Cosmopolitan. It is, because it's fucking really nice. So that place, it overlooks the Bellagio. So depending on what side you can get a whole view of the Strip and you can see the fountains. Like, you get like a balcony. It's beautiful. Stayed there a couple times and I've loved it. And I was like, the Cosmopolitan, dude, like, it is the fucking, like, creme de la creme of Las Vegas hotels. Even now. I mean, this is 5 years ago, maybe. Even now, it's just, like, phenomenal. So he was like, great. So he booked, like, I don't know, a night, maybe two nights. I can't remember how many nights we were there. he booked a couple of nights at the Cosmopolitan. That shit was like fucking $700 total.
Like, oh, okay. I'm like,
and
a night?
No, God, no. He would never do that.
That's still
but
a lot.
But it was like $700. And, yeah. And you know, he did his work around Nevada. And, you know, we went out for dinner. I showed him around the strip. We had gone to, like, the Hoover Dam at one point. Just, you know, all this fun stuff. And his... like, when he had to, like, provide the receipts for the trip for his job, like, you know, like, his food, gas expenses, whatever. I believe they looked at the hotel charge and were like Bugs Bunny, like, eyes coming out of the
like, a little large marge going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So now when he has to, I mean, now he lives in Vegas, so thankfully he doesn't have to pay for hotels. Right. But, like, when he travels, he keeps it much more, like, downscale.
That's awesome.
But it is one of my favorite stories is about how I... unintentionally got him to fucking yeah. spend way too much money at the Cosmopolitan.
That's awesome.
Worth it, though. It was a really good trip.
I'm sure it was. So are we agreeing that this is a motel, probably?
It's got to be a motel.
Because it also has, like, the way it was designed, because after the morning after, you can see there, it looks like a motel.
Absolutely.
Because you have, like, the doors.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So they bone in this really skeezy, disgusting, like, cracked-in motel. Which is like,
yes.
As someone like in my early 20s, and I'm sure you've experienced this too. I mean, I think most people do when they travel when you're young and you don't have a lot
money.
Of money.
Yeah,
like those places, it's whatever. It's a bed and it's a shower.
Yeah, like that's all it is.
You take what you can get. But like as you get older, and if you're lucky enough to get more like financially stable, like you never have to see a place like that ever again.
No,
like,
no. Yeah.
But they ultimately bone in this really uncomfortable, like, it's a really uncomfortable makeout scene on top of this disgusting comforter that probably is covered in blood and dust and semen and, like, just so gross.
Dude, all those things, yes, but I still could not get past his weak-ass shoulders. His shoulders were so lame. Sorry, I like shoulders. That dude's shoulders were not there.
Also, I felt some, like, they got this poor girl, like, in a cute little lingerie set.
Yeah,
like,
bra she's wearing, panties. Like, a bra and panties.
Yeah, she's showing it all, and
he's wearing, like, regular-ass clothes. Actually, really... I think his sleeves were cut off.
Yeah, he had, like,
which makes it even worse. Yeah, like, it would have been better if he didn't have his shirt on at all.
Yeah, dude, like, pop it off. You're about to, like, hook
and
up with your hot girlfriend.
Was he wearing, like, basketball shorts?
Yeah, he's wearing, like, black long leg pants.
Yes! They were, like, Adidas pants or some shit. So anyway, she crawls on top and they're just like making out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the chemistry is just so
sparks.
Yeah.
Sparks flying.
Like, I'm surprised that motel room did not set on fire. Is all I gotta say.
Oh my God, I'm gonna throw up. This is the funniest episode we've done in so long.
In a while.
Oh my God.
I still think the Texas Chainsaw and Blair Witch 2 were probably the funniest episodes.
How are you just going to gloss over my candy apples during season 1?
I'm sorry.
How are you just going to gloss over that?
I'm sorry. I'm not giving credit where credit is due.
Oh God, I'm going to be sick. I can't stop laughing.
Okay. So we assume that they bone. We don't actually see them do anything except his weak-ass shoulders. The next morning they get up, well, and they'll, like, turn on the TV or go outside or some crap.
Before they even do anything, we get, like, a 10-minute montage of all the scenery of places that we've already been, like the pumpkin patch, and, like, it's the early morning.
Oh, yeah, hours. It has that stupid shit.
And all of a sudden, I think it's like a panorama of like a gas station or a shopping mall or something. There's fucking CGI birds everywhere. And when I say CGI, I mean clip art.
Like, and not, yeah, I was going to say, you're giving it way too much credit.
There's dozens of clip art birds that are flapping their wings but not going anywhere. There's no movement other than the wing flap. They're just kind of in one place flapping their wings. But what I love is that when the birds fly into things, like they're flying into...
They explode!
They fucking explode. Like a fiery explosion.
Why are they exploding? They're still birds. Like who rigged them with, like, dynamite? Like, they're still birds. Like, I don't care what global warming is causing. It's not causing explosive birds.
It's so fucking funny. They're just, like, crashing into buildings and just blowing up into, like, fiery messes. Oh, my God. And they're making, you know, they're doing, like, the fucking, like, generic, like, ah, noise or whatever that, you know, you can buy for 40 cents to use in your movie. And probably royalty-free, that noise, because it's in everything.
Probably.
Natalie hears this, and when she goes to the window and, like, pulls the curtain aside, there's just an eagle kind of hovering in front of the fucking window. Just not moving, just going up and down just a little bit.
Hovering,
just
the wings are bending-ish.
And, you know, Rod wakes up because she's like, what? There's, like, an eagle outside.
Right.
And you know, when he kind of, like, goes to open the door, like, they start attacking the building, and they're going to break through the glass, and he's like, let's barricade the door with the bed. And it's like, you're gonna touch that, like, disgusting mattress that
they
Lord
just had sex on it. I mean, at this point, what does it matter?
It's true, I guess.
So it's kind of like if you have your designer jeans.
Yeah.
Like, if it's between keeping your jeans on and getting eaten, or taking them off, having them, losing them, and being alive.
Is Kevin Bacon around at any point during any of this?
Let's just say yes. Then I would definitely lose my pants.
I don't think I just... Well, I was going to say, I don't feel like Kevin Bacon's character in Tremors would be the type of person that would take me to a Motel 6. I think
probably
he'd,
not.
I think he'd be
a little classier than that. But anyways.
Nice little throwback there.
Right. But anyways, so...
They tear apart this Motel 6 to fucking get the mattress and the bed in front of the window. And then it apparently dies down. I don't know.
Like, they end up leaving and they, like, run. They're running down, like, the walkway there.
To the next room.
Yeah.
And there's another couple inside. I remember the girl's name is Becky. I can't remember.
Ramsey is the guy.
Oh, was it Randy?
Ramsey.
Oh, Ramsey. Okay.
As in, like, Gordon Ramsey.
Oh, gotcha. It's fucking raw. So there's Ramsey and Becky, which are a couple that are evidently also down on their luck and staying at the Motel 6.
Sure.
they're like one room over, two rooms over, and they let Rod and Natalie into the room, and they're just as confused as they are. They're like, yeah, no, we tried to get to our car, and there's just fucking birds everywhere, and they're attacking people, and they decide that they're going to form a circular, like a circular...
like ring.
A ring.
Like back to back.
So they can...
With guns. They have guns.
Oh, well, first they have coat hangers.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God, Ashley. The coat hangers.
So they form this... They grab coat hangers out of the closet, and they all have coat... And they don't even, like, bend them to stab. They just have...
They just are holding coat
they're
hangers.
They're just holding, like, these metal coat hangers from the motel, and
keep
they
the
form
birds
a...
away.
Exactly. They form a circular formation, and they work their way out towards Ramsey's van. He has like a fucking arsenal in his van for whatever reason.
He's an ex-Marine.
Right, but I feel like...
But he still has a lot of guns for
I was going to say, like, I know ex-Marines, and they don't drive around with fucking AK-47s in their cars.
Agreed. Yeah, they don't.
but at one point, the birds swarm them. And when I mean swarm, I mean they stand there like a bunch of idiots, and they're swinging at the air while there's these clip art birds hovering in front of them and screeching. And it goes on for way too long. They're never actually hitting the birds. We don't see any contact with the birds.
No.
They're just swinging at the birds but not making contact somehow. They do get in the van. And from there, we finally see that they are able to pick off a couple of the birds with the guns that... When fired, now have little, like...
The spark?
The little spark, like, superimposed on the barrels. And the birds all, you know, not all, but some of the birds that get hit just drop, like, unceremoniously.
Mm-hmm.
They make a getaway in Ramsey's van. They come across some cars that are parked on the side of the road, and it looks like there is someone in distress outside of the car. They're, like, slumped against the car, so they pull over, and these people are dead. Like, they have been killed by these birds.
Mm.
And they hear crying underneath one of the cars, and there's a little girl who's hiding because the birds have killed her mother,
mm-hmm.
and her brother has locked himself in the trunk of the other car to escape the birds. So they rescue these children. The birds attack them again. They're shooting at the birds. Meanwhile, traffic is going by like no big deal. Like, traffic is just going.
Right? Like, there's a shot where they're talking to them and you don't see any cars or anything. And then all of a sudden there's another shot and, like, oh, it's just there's tons of all this traffic in the background.
Yeah. No one's screaming or swerving or, like, speeding. Everyone's just going to work, apparently.
Yeah.
Ugh. So they rescue these kids, and then they go to a convenience store to pick up some supplies.
And snacks and food.
And snacks and water. Food. And the shopkeeper has apparently had their eyes plucked out by these birds. They're mm-hmm. just laying there with, you know, pepperonis over their face. Not a big budget on this one.
I actually think the budget on this is the least amount that we've ever done on Big
Nude Boom. Ooh, I can't wait to hear what it was.
I think.
So they get all this food and they go to a beach to eat, which to me seems counterproductive because beaches usually have a fuck ton of birds. Like, a fuck yeah. ton of birds.
I mean, seagulls.
Seagulls. So they sit down and have lunch at a bench. The kids have apparently forgotten that their mother is dead. They're in good spirits. They're playing with a ball.
Like, yeah, they're totally cool and just chilling.
While they're at the beach, Rod and Natalie meet this guy who's like this older guy who's at the beach who is some kind of bird scientist.
What did he call himself? I can't remember.
I think he did describe himself as just like a bird scientist. But he's explaining that some of the birds at the beach are like contagious, like they're sick. There's bird flu going around.
Yeah, it's bird flu.
And so when they're at, like when they ask him, is this what's making them attack people? He's just like, no, global warming's doing. Like, global warming's making them attack people
because the water rising or becoming less. I don't know. but like species are dying out. You know, and new species are becoming more rampant type of thing.
Yeah.
I think is what he was trying to explain.
Yeah. And then what I love about how everybody sort of says goodbye to each other in this movie is that it's so, like, he's like, okay, well, good luck. And then just, like, walks away and they're like, okay, see ya. Like
right. So also when he's, so he walks over, so they're talking at the car.
Yeah.
All the background, there's, like, traffic. People. No. There are people. It's a shot of the beach, and people are, like, you know, throwing football.
Yeah, like, nobody's fazed by this fucking
like,
shit.
It's totally cool. But then they're just like, yeah. So the scientist walks over, and he's like, oh, big gulps. Well, see you later. Big gulps, eh?
Harry, you're alive, and you're a terrible shot.
Anyway, so yeah, so he takes off. Then they leave. And then I believe they stop because they have to, like, pee or something.
Yes, and this is one of my this is, like, the only line in the movie that I'm like, that was well delivered. It's a good delivered line because it's so out of the blue and caught me so off guard. It's when, I think, like, Ramsey's sleeping in the passenger seat and Rod is in the driver's seat and Ramsey wakes up. He's like, where are the girls? And he's like, they went to go take a shit.
Is that what they said?
That's what he said. And so we get Natalie and Becky, who is Ramsey's girlfriend, like, yeah. walking through a field, and Natalie offers to keep watch while Becky goes
goes to take a shit, yeah.
She's carrying her toilet paper.
Yeah.
And no sooner does she pop a squat when a bird comes and, like, slits her throat as it flies by. It's so fucking funny. But then what makes it even funnier is that Natalie's trying to shoot the bird, like, off of her, and you know she hit Becky, like, 6 times.
Right.
Everyone is aiming so terribly.
Right?
In this
like,
moment.
She's trying to shoot. I'm like, this is going to kill her. And the bird's going to fly away.
So Natalie runs back to the car to, like, let, you know, Rod and Ramsey know what the hell has happened. And Ramsey is obviously distraught. His girlfriend just got her throat slit by a fucking crow.
Right.
And they get back in the car and start driving again when they come across now a bus filled with people.
A double-decker, too.
A double-decker in Half Moon Bay or whatever the fuck it's called.
Half Moon Bay Tours, I think it was called.
Where's the city and why does it have a tour?
A double-decker bus tour. Yeah.
But there's people trapped on this double-decker bus and the birds are like hovering because none of them actually like move. They just
none
hover.
None of them move, yeah.
They're hovering and screeching at these people that are trapped in a bus and Natalie has the good sense to be like, all right, we need to go, like, while they're distracted.
Yeah.
But Ramsey's like, no, they killed Becky. I have to, like, avenge her.
Ah! Yeah, and the others just stay in the car. Like, he's the only one that gets out.
He's the only one who gets out. They offer to cover him from the car. Yeah. Like, they're shooting at the birds, and they're all terrible shots. Like, well, it's so bad.
Yeah.
But Ramsey gets out of the car. He gets onto the bus. These people don't want to get off the bus. They want help, but, like...
Yeah, he's like, we gotta go. And they're like, no, the birds are gonna eat me or attack me or whatever the heck they said. And he's like, no, really, we gotta go. Like, we gotta go. You want help? Like, you can't, like, I'm here to help.
Like, there's a van outside. Go get in the van.
Yeah.
He gets them outside of the van, and the birds essentially have, like, really acidic shit because they shit all over these people.
I thought they were spitting acid.
I have no idea.
It doesn't really matter. None of this matters, actually.
but we're treated to one of my favorite death scenes, which is where these extras and the guy who plays Ramsey just kind of slowly, like, get down on the ground. Not quick enough to... like, make it look realistic, but they slowly, like, get
they
down
slowly
on
the... start kneeling.
And then, like, laying on their side to die. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
It's something.
It's something.
It's a thing that happened.
So now we have Natalie, we have Rod, and we have the two kids who are, like, non-communicative in the back, just kind of, like, hanging out. They go to a gas station where they need to fill up, and Natalie is getting more water, which these people go through crazy amounts of water. I don't know if you picked up on that, but, like...
They do. They have... Let's just say they're no Bert and Heather. You know, they don't know how to ration their... I mean, they have two kids with them, which, I gotta be honest, was the wrong call.
Yeah.
But, you know, to each their own. But they're not rationing anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're grabbing more water. But they also need gas, which, unaccountably, is $100 a gallon.
Apparently.
Because it's the apocalypse and hyperinflation.
Hyperinflation, the apocalypse, they're running out of gas, despite the fact that, again, traffic patterns outside are moving by normal.
Here's another thing. So Rod's like, $100 a gallon, blah, 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 whatever the hell he says. And he's like, well, fine. He hands him, like, a debit card. And I'm like, oh, that's good. So electricity does work. His register works. And also the bank is still functioning.
I was going to say the credit card companies are still...
like, they're still functioning perfectly fine. Okay, that's legit.
And also, also, not that it matters, but again, Rod is a millionaire. $100 a gallon ain't shit to Rod.
Right?
But he's pissed. He's fucking livid. They, you know, leave with the kids, obviously, and they come across yet somebody else on the side of the road, which this is my favorite part of this entire movie.
This was pretty good.
This was great. They stop to assist this man who's, like, waving his arms, looking for help. And
John Wayne.
He has run out of gas.
He looks kind of like John Wayne. Well, actually, he doesn't look like John Wayne, but he's just an old dude with a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And a truck.
Depending on who you ask, any old dude with a cowboy hat, it looks like John Wayne.
Yeah.
I have
so this John Wayne character.
I have the funniest story for you. I got to tell you off mic later, by the way.
Okay.
So that just reminded me of it. So this John Wayne character... approaches them. He has run out of gas. His truck is out of gas. And he asks them if they have any.
Yep.
And Natalie's like, we just came from a place where it's $100 a gallon. And the guy's like, do you have any to spare? And Rod's like, no, we need it. So the guy just whips out a pistol. And is just like, give me your gas. And no one seems, like, particularly, like, scared or alarmed. They're all just very kind of nonchalant about this.
Yeah. And they were going to give him gas.
Yeah. So, well, they get out. They go to the back. Rod hands him, like, an extra, like, the gas tank that he has, like a container that he filled up at the station. And the guy is backing away from Rod, not towards his own truck that needs the gas. He's just sort of backing up away from Rod, still holding the gun, when we get the "Gah!" and this eagle zips by, and the dude's throat is just immediately cut.
Yeah.
It's super funny.
Yep.
It was the funniest fucking kill in the movie.
It was so stupid.
It was so fucking funny. And then Rod proceeds to, like, get back in the car and leaves not only the gun that the guy was holding, but the entire container of gas. He just leaves it. He just fucking leaves it. Despite the fact that he was saying they needed it, he fucking leaves an entire container of gas and a gun on the ground. What?
Right? Also, go check the dude's truck. Maybe he has supplies.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Like, no one raids like Resident Evil people do. Like, anyone who's played Resident Evil, you search everything. You search every body.
Not just Resident Evil, just anything for that matter.
Like, any game ever.
You search everything. It does not matter what kind of danger you are in. You are searching every stupid little thing you find.
Walking Dead, they did it all the time. Mm-hmm. I know this is like the second episode I'm referencing Walking Dead, but they were notorious for that. You mm-hmm. search everything. So now we're in presumably much more northern California, and we end up in like the Redwoods, and they stop to again fill up their bottles with more water from a stream that Rod knows about, which I just watched them not only grab like a 30 pack of like water bottles at the first convenience store that they went to, but when they were at the gas station, the kids each grabbed like fucking two gallons each of water.
Maybe they're not going through it. Maybe they're just hoarding it because, perhaps, you know, that's what you would do that in that situation.
True.
Too. So
that's a good point.
Let's assume that they're not just drinking mad gallons of water over the course of what? 24 hours?
Not even. It's like a 3-hour thing.
Right.
So they go down to the stream in this redwood forest, and they're being watched.
They are.
And, you know, Rod whips out the pistol and is like, get down here, identify yourself, like, why are you following us? And it's this hippie dude, and we know he's a hippie dude because he's wearing an $11 Amazon hippie wig that you would get for Halloween.
And he unaccountably looks like Woody Harrelson.
Oh my god, that's who it was. I was like, this guy looks like somebody, and I can't place it. It's Woody Harrelson. Oh my god.
I feel like if Woody Harrelson was offered this gig, he would totally do it, too.
I feel like Woody Harrelson would do this and be in the sequel. Like, you would...
Fucking... I'm like, that dude looks so much like Woody Harrelson.
So this guy explains that, you know, he lives in the forest.
It's Tom Hill, yeah.
Yeah, his job is to take care of these redwoods. They're his family, according to him.
He's a tree hugger.
And when Rod is like, you know, you can come with us and stay away from the killer birds, he's like, well, notice how they're not attacking, like, the forest. They're only attacking cities.
They're only going after cars and cities and stuff. Yeah.
It's very much, when did The Happening come out? Because that was the whole thing, is like The Happening was like the plants were attacking like densely populated areas that had like a big carbon footprint. Like,
I want to say it was like 2010.
Oh my god. I need hold on.
2008.
Oh, so this came out, The Happening came out before Birdemic.
Yeah.
Huh.
That has 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
We should do The Happening one of these times.
No.
No. It's a big old no. So, you know, when it comes time for this conversation to end, because it's been going on for way too long, Tom Hill says that he hears a mountain lion and has to get back up into his treehouse. And everybody goes running and they scatter. And at one point, Natalie's like, I smell something burning. Do you? And it's because there's somehow a forest fire. And,
In the super dense, damp redwoods.
In the super dense, damp redwoods. And the birds have now... The CGI clip art birds have now been replaced by CGI clip art fire.
Oh my god. I don't know. Do forest fires happen up there? I know they happen in, like, Alaska.
So a lot of the...
And then obviously California, but I thought it was more, like, central to southern.
So a lot of wildfires... Well, they had, like, the Southern California fire earlier this year that was, like...
A really bad one.
Unfucking unprecedented. It was out of control. Yeah, but the Palisades fire. But typically, from what I've seen, like, a lot of the fires are in Northern California.
Are they?
Yeah.
Because they're so woodsy?
Yeah. And Okay. Everything just burns super easy. But I'm sure there's been fires. And, like, when we went to the Redwoods Forest, my business partner and I, last year, there were a couple that looked, like, burnt out. But I think it's because they got hit by lightning or something. Because they get, like, maybe a lot of storms up there.
I didn't think, like, forest fires happen too much there. Predominantly, when, like, they happen out west... Like, you have, like, your Wyomings and your Montanas and your Dakotas and things like that, and there is really bad because the climate there is much drier.
Well, Colorado's having, like, a huge one right now.
So, like Colorado is another one, but, like, obviously Washington State, Oregon, and, like, Northern California are essentially temperate rainforests.
Yeah.
So they're super damp most of the time, from what I understand. So I was just curious. I didn't know.
I know a lot of them happen in, like, central to Northern California, but I think not only because it gets dry in those areas, but because like people like fucking like start campfires and shit and don't put them out properly. Yeah. So I mean, anything can trigger it.
Right.
But this fire in particular is very clip arty and it's very like sporadic. It's not, you know.
Right. There's like a bulb here.
There's
and then, like
some
they're
smoke
like
here.
Bulbs. Like there's some smoke there. Like it makes no sense.
It reminds me of the graphics in like old timey like GeoCities.
Yes.
Websites. Like,
yes.
Like the fucking like GIFs that you would see on yes. GeoCities or like Angel Fire websites. Like the yeah. poorly.
The poor clip art.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very much like that. Which yes. I don't know if GeoCities was still around in 2010, but I have a feeling that's
know.
If
it might
was.
Have been.
If it was, that's where they got a lot of these animations because it's fucking crazy. They do make their way out of the forest. They get back to their van. They drive yet again. The kids are hungry despite the fact that they took a bunch of candy from that convenience store and like, you know, now they're hungry. They ate all the sandwiches they got from the first store that they went to because they had a fuck ton of them. right. It's just these people don't know how to ration. It drives me fucking insane. So they do decide to stop, you know, they're heading towards the ocean and the idea is, you know, we can see what's by the ocean mm-hmm. and they come across the lighthouse that you mentioned that Mai
yes.
apparently lives in.
Right? They're like, oh, there's the lighthouse. She's like, oh, that's where Mai lives. And I'm just like, in a lighthouse? I mean, don't get me wrong. Lighthouse keeper all day.
The dream.
The dream. but she does not appear to be a lighthouse keeper.
No, she doesn't. And also, they've been driving for fucking ever. So,
a long time.
So, like, does she live this far away? Like, and just comes and sees them all the time?
I don't know.
It seems crazy.
I don't know.
It's a crazy waste.
It is.
But her and the boyfriend there, Rick or whoever,
yeah.
they are dead in her front seat. But she does
yeah,
have
she
her...
finds them in their car, I think, or in her car.
Yeah.
And they both had, like,
you know,
cuts, I guess.
Cuts
I don't know.
And the pepperoni over their eyes or whatever to represent. and but of course, Mai is wearing her Imagine Peace t-shirt, which is perfectly,
yes.
perfectly like centered to the shot. So you can read it very clearly.
Yeah.
ImaginePeace.com or whatever the fuck it is. They get to the beach and, you know, Rod finds a fishing rod in the back of Ramsey's van. And
yep.
he's like, I'm going to try to
and
catch a fish.
Stove.
And a stove. Convenient.
How convenient.
And, you know, Natalie's like, I'll go get us some seaweed because apparently, you know, I mean, I like dry seaweed, but she's all for eating the shit wet. So
there's many ways to eat seaweed and it's super edible and also very good for you from what I
like,
understand.
I like dried seaweed. I can't.
Like, well, there's all different types.
Yeah.
So there's, like, the bulk kelp, which does not look like regular seaweed. It's,
oh,
like,
yeah.
the, you know, like, you can get pickled bulk kelp. I got it once.
How was it?
So it would have been okay. I think the pickling brine is what I didn't actually like. It was too sweet. But, yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense, you know, if she was going to get that,
yeah.
you know.
So Rod manages to catch a fish. He gets the stove going. Natalie has a bunch of seaweed. He doesn't descale or clean the fish in any way. He just puts it in
like,
the water.
Like it's like Alone style, you know, like on Alone, except they still gut the fish because you still shouldn't be eating the gut part.
Yeah.
You know, like a head, sure. The eggs, roe, definitely. But yeah, probably should have been I mean, maybe it didn't have scales. Not all fish have scales.
I don't know. It looked pretty scaly to me.
It looked like a freshwater bass that came out of the salty ass ocean. So I have no idea. So he doesn't clean any of it and just puts it in the water.
And she's cooking up the seaweed.
And she puts the seaweed in the other side because this is clearly a divided like pot, you know?
Yeah. They do try to give the kids this food, but one of the kids is like, I want a Happy Meal. And it's like, you little shit.
Oh, my God.
He's like, I want a Happy Meal. And it's like, your mom is dead. And there's fucking birds attacking and blowing up on impact. Like, do you really think McDonald's? Well, I mean, the credit card company apparently is still working.
I'm just saying.
You could probably go to a McDonald's. But, you know, in hindsight, like, you know, do you really think McDonald's is still standing in this bird apocalypse that we're dealing with right now?
Well, you know, with the credit card and the people playing football on the beach.
Just driving to work
and
normally.
And the people driving to work. I feel like McDonald's probably is still functioning. But for the sake of the movie, we'll say it's not. But these little shits, yeah. Like,
yeah.
There is no McDonald's right now, bro. This you're going to eat this fish, and you're going to shut your stupid, gross mouth.
This is why you don't rescue children who aren't yours or, like, in some way, like, related or associated with you. Like, first mistake.
Because clearly these kids are spoiled to hell.
Exactly. You don't know exactly what you're getting. You'd be getting, like, a little serial killer. Like, he could be opening the car door to let the birds in. Who knows?
It's true. It's true.
So while they're, like, having this, like, little standoff with these little ungrateful bastards, the birds come again, yet again. And they get back in the van, and they're shooting. They run out of ammo. Now they're hiding in the back seat, just waiting for
anything.
Anything to happen. A miracle. Something. And that miracle does happen, Steph. It does happen. Miracles are real. Miracles exist in this world. Because they are rescued by clip art doves.
The doves come and just, you know, flock around the vehicle, I guess.
Yeah.
And it makes the other birds go away, I guess.
They drive away the evil eagles that are trying to kill them. And the eagles are flying away. Now, bear in mind, they are flapping their wings. There's no momentum. There's no movement. They're just there flapping their wings up and down and not actually going anywhere. Mm. And the doves do the same thing. The doves, like, chase the birds away, but they don't actually move. They just hover. And Rod and Natalie and the two kids, they go to the shore's edge to watch this happen, and they watch the birds hover for 10 minutes.
So long. It's so freaking long.
While the closing credits finally begin to roll. And that is Birdemic.
Oh my God. Shock and terror.
Shock and terror.
Like, oh my God. Everything about this movie made me angry.
So, for a body count, I counted like every dead body I saw. So I had 14.
I did not. I counted like 8, including my inner boyfriend.
Okay.
Because we didn't see them actually die.
Okay.
So, like, I counted them.
Yeah, I counted, like, the clerks and shit at the gas station that was dead. Oh, yeah, and, like, the dead lady outside the bus when they pulled up, and then the other, yeah. So, Steph, dare I ask, what would you give this for a star rating?
0.01.
I'm gonna give it 0.5, because it's fun to watch with other people. That's the only redeeming quality about this movie, is that it's very, very fun to watch the crowd.
Maybe we can watch the second and third one together.
I would love that.
You know, I could make a nice romantic dinner.
Ooh. do you have any fun tidbits about this movie?
I can't even with this piece of shit. This was hands... I think this was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Even worse than Dead End?
Yes.
Dead End Henry Wise.
Yeah, exactly. And not terrible, terrible special effects. They were pretty bad, but not like this. So this was, of course, was inspired by The Birds and obviously An Inconvenient Truth.
Yes.
That was a good movie. An Inconvenient Truth. Thanks, bro. We had no idea what we just watched. It was largely self-financed through Nguyen. Is that how you say his name?
I think it's Nguyen, yeah.
Nguyen. Movie Head Pictures Company for a budget of $10,000.
That's crazy.
Very, very, very low. We didn't actually do the first Blair Witch, but I remember talking about it. And the budget for that movie was $60,000, and I think that was the lowest I've ever seen so far that we've done. So $10,000. That's like, I could finance that right now if I wanted to. It gained notoriety for its poor quality, with many critics citing it as one of the worst films of all time. Began production in 2006 and took 4 years to produce, partly due to the time limitations involving cast and crew. The principal photography was mostly done on weekends over the course of 7 months, and also due to financial restraints, as it was financed through Nguyen's day job. Plus the time it took to find a distributor.
So I don't think I was wrong with saying that, like, a lot of the office scenes, I think he just went to places that were closed on, like, a Saturday and was like, hey, $100 and can we film here? Because it looks like in a fucking abandoned office building.
Yeah, yeah. Nguyen did travel to the Sundance Film Festival to promote the film freelance, handing out flyers to passerbys from his van. Adorned with stuffed birds and misspelled signs that read biddemic.com. And why did the eagles and vultures attacked? That's not English. I don't... And renting out a local bar to screen the film. Which was a pretty good idea, actually.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Word of mouth...
This would be fun to watch hammered.
Yeah, or on LSD. Word of mouth eventually gave Birdemic attention from horror movie websites like Bloody Disgusting and, of course, Dread Central. And here's the fun part. The reception. I only have a few things down for that shit, though. 2009, Best of List, Bloody Disgusting lists Birdemic among its honorable mentions. The best worst film you'll see in 2010. The Huffington Post, truly one of the worst films ever made. I like how they just, you know, cut the fat and get right to the point.
Right to the point.
Yeah. The Guardian features acting as wooden as a tree. Clunky camera work and crude special effects. That reduces reduced audiences to tears of laughter rather than terror. Yeah, good stuff. I thought I had something else, but not really.
So,
but basically, this movie is famous for being terrible.
Yes, and it's been criticized and discussed many times. Many times. I am glad we finally decided to do it. You had said that you had discussed before we started recording. You thought maybe James Nguyen had made this bad on purpose.
Yes,
and. Sometimes I would agree with you, but I have seen some of his other work, and
it's not just as bad.
It is just as bad, if not worse. Mm. So I think that unfortunately, this is the case of someone with a lot of ambition and like a lot of ideas in their head that just can't execute it properly, and also
The financing really.
The financing, and also doesn't really understand that, like, the subtlety doesn't need, like, things need to be a little bit more subtle. Like, yes. As far as, like, the global, like, we get it. This is a movie that has to do with global warming, but we don't need to, like, have it thrown in your face every
like,
single time.
Like, punch you in the throat every single scene. Yeah.
There is another movie that James Nguyen directed, and this is the one that has a cameo by Tippi Hedren.
Yeah.
And it's called Julian Jack. Mm-hmm. And it is about a guy who also works at a nondescript sales job in San Francisco, I believe. A lot of the movies take place kind of in the same region, which I think is where James Nguyen lives.
Probably.
And he, you know, uses a virtual reality chat room where he meets a girl who also lives in San Francisco, and they fall in love in this virtual reality chat room. And come to find out, she is actually dead. In real life, but she has somehow used a supercomputer to create like an AI version of herself in this.
What?
Yeah, and Tippi Hedren plays the dead chick's mother and is in the movie for 5 minutes, which is the only good part. But it's very similar to like the scenes like in an office are clearly filmed in a building that's vacant or closed for the weekend. Like, there's the lighting is terrible, the sound is terrible, the editing, the acting, it's all so fucking bad. So, you know, I've seen that. There's another one that he's done that's very similar, so I don't think this was done intentionally. I think this is just, I think he really thought this was going to be something, and unfortunately, it had the opposite effect.
I gotta be honest, it is something, is the thing. You know, like...
So anything, well, I watched this on Tubi. I think you did
so
as
did
well.
I, yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything else about the movie that you would like to discuss? Or I know you want this to be over as soon as possible.
No. Did I mention the Rotten Tomatoes?
No. Rating? What did they give it on Rotten Tomatoes?
18%.
That's 17% higher than I thought it was going to be.
Legit, right? Like that's pretty good stuff.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I wanted to throw up after this movie. It was so bad. And I like bad movies, but this one was just too much.
Well, I'm going to propose a movie that we can do next season.
Oh, dear Lord.
I think I should be allowed to have one really fucking bad movie every season.
I don't disagree.
I think that once every season, I should be able to pick just one absolutely...
I never said you couldn't.
God-awful, horrific. Well, we try to keep it like movies that are entertaining and have a fun story.
Well, we need to have like, you know...
There's nuance. There's nuance to this. But I have a recommendation for next season that's going to fucking, it's going to make Birdemic look like fucking Oppenheimer. It's going to be so great.
Oh man, is it Velocipaster?
No, but I do want to do that
one. We should probably do Velocipaster.
I do want to do Velocipaster.
So for anybody who's listening to this, it's in the name if you haven't seen it. We'll take a poll if we should do Velocipaster or not in the next season.
I'll post a poll on our Instagram.
Okay.
Okay. Fucking love it. Steph, you did the recipe for this week.
Yes.
Because not only did I want you to suffer through this movie, I also want you to cook for me as well. So would you like to talk about what you prepared today?
Yes. So what I prepared in honor of this piece of shit, I don't think I've even sworn this much, like, in any episode either, because it just pisses me off so bad.
I don't recall an episode other than the candied apples incident where we have laughed so hard to the point where I thought I was going to throw up. So
there is that, right? Like, really, I think I just pissed myself from laughing so hard. Anyways, so this takes place in Silicon Valley, so I decided to take that and roll with it to the Hidden Valley of Ranch.
I hope you stretch before that reach.
I did. I fucking did. And also, I'm making chicken. So that's a bird. Go with that. I was trying to find some fresh eagle, but, you know, they kind of frown on that here.
Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, they're not into really butchering and farming eagles, so... Anyways, so yeah, it's basically a ranch chicken kind of dish. So it involves obviously chicken, heavy cream, chicken broth, ranch seasoning, but like the packets of ranch seasoning,
yeah.
Not like the dressing. Butter, garlic, cheese, oil, olive oil, salt, pepper, all that good stuff. So preheat your oven to 375. You season the chicken breast with the ranch and salt and pepper. So in a skillet, so oven-safe skillet, because that shit's going to go in the oven. Heat the oil. You add the chicken, and you sear it on each side about 3 to 4 minutes. You take it out. You set it aside. The chicken, that is. So in that skillet, like, this is actually very similar to a bunch of things I make in the past, but I've never used ranch. So in the same skillet, so you throw the butter in. You melt it. You mix the garlic and you saute that, and also deglaze. Then you pour the chicken broth in and cream, heavy cream, and this is where you deglaze. So you scrape all the brown, delicious bits off of the pan, you know. And you let it simmer for a few minutes to let it thicken,
yeah.
You know. Then you put the chicken back in the skillet, turning them to coat it in the sauce there. You sprinkle cheese, like cheddar cheese, or any type of cheese, really, whatever you want, like on it. And then you put the skillet itself in the oven for about 25 minutes until the cheese is all melted and bubbly and delicious. And obviously the chicken is cooked through. And then, you know, you garnish it with whatever you want, chives, cilantro, or other herbs, whatever. So this is actually very similar to a dish that I generally make for me and Andy just on a regular basis, except instead of, like, ranch and heavy cream, I use salsa.
Okay.
Because nice. It's so much more healthier than eating heavy cream. But it's very similar. Like, you sear the chicken breast, you take it out, and then you put the salsa in and deglaze it with that.
Okay.
And then you put the chicken back in, you cover it, and then you put it in the oven.
Nice.
With cheese. And it's absolutely phenomenal.
Nice.
So this is the first time I'm making this one, but it's essentially the same idea.
I am very, very excited. And that recipe is going to be over on our Instagram. That's at Baking to the Bee Movies. You guys can see some photos of how it comes out, read what you need to make it, and the instructions on how to do it if you want to try it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, if you have any recipe recommendations, any movie recommendations, let us know at Baking to the bmovies@gmail.com. I like hesitated there. I was like, baking to the use the word bird so many times today.
I do not recommend this movie unless you want a good laugh.
I was gonna say, watch it with a group
watch
of friends.
Watch it with a bunch of people. Have, you know, cannabis, have beer, have all sorts of things.
Some snacks.
Yeah, like snacks. Like, do it right if you're going to do it.
And if you really want to, I highly recommend the Riff Tracks live. Yes. That was a lot of fun to watch. And yeah, I think I want to watch the sequel just to see, like, if it gets, I know it's not going to get any better, but I'm wondering if any, like, money that they made from this was used towards the sequel, if it's, like, any better effects.
Yeah.
But we'll have to check it out at some point. Not this season, not next season, not the season after that, but at some point, we'll have to check it out. Steph, is there anything else?
I had to suffer through this for so long today. No, I think I got nothing left.
Well,
like, I am out of, like, my body has no more. I'm completely dehydrated from
Birdemic.
Shock and terror.
Oh my God. Well, guys, this has been one of my favorite episodes, I think. This is one of my personal favorites. Like I said, we're on Instagram. You can email us. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode and another recipe. I promise the movies won't be as bad.
Or they might just be as bad, and we'll just roll with it.
They could be worse.
Right? Like, let's not forget, there is a possibility it could be worse.
There's always that possibility. You hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Exactly.
Guys, this has been Baking to the Bee Movies. My name is Ashley.
And my name is Steph.
I'm ready to go eat some of this killer chicken.
Yeah, me too.
We'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Have a good one.
Later.